Michael.
Patrick.
How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
You know, I'm doing okay. For now. So here's the thing.
Okay.
I find that about once every 6 months or so on the site, and I think we're going to have to probably have about the same schedule here on the show, where I have to do one of these posts. On the site, it usually comes, or, you know, one of these kind of disclaimers. On the site, it comes from generally someone writing this post that's like, you know, what's the big deal about minimalism, and minimalism doesn't mean anything unless it blah, 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 minimal, blah, 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 and basically linking to me or pointing out something I've said or this, that, and the other. And I have to do these posts that basically say, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. It's different for everybody. And that the reason that I am even interested in this stuff in the first place, and that I kind of obsess about it, is that we all obsess about the things that we struggle with, right?
Okay.
You know, you know, that's the caveat, is that I'm not an expert at this stuff, right? If you were to walk in my house right now, you'd have no clue. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about the fact that my wife is kind of the exact opposite of me, that she has very sentimental attachment to things, and that, you know, she believes in kind of the exact opposite of simplicity and minimalism, you know, at least from a, you know, practical day-to-day operating perspective, that, you know, that the only solution to cold is having more and more sweaters, that the only solution to, you know, there's certain things, you know, that she can't unattach herself from. And in the same way, there are things that I struggle with too, right? We've talked about this. Domain names being one of them.
Yep.
You know, I've had a real kind of struggle the past several months. I've been letting domain names go, and it's been really difficult for me knowing that I likely will never get them back. Like, if I ever wanted to use them, I probably won't be able to get them back without a cost, right? And how different is that than, say, Bethany, who does the same thing with clothes? They may not fit her anymore. She may not ever wear them again. They may be out of style, and they may not ever come back into style. But what has her, instead of putting them in a bag and sending them to the charity shop, as you guys over there who call your potato chips Chris might say.
You call it Goodwill, right?
Goodwill. Or Goodwill is actually kind of a generic brand name and has become one in the same way with the Kleenex is, but there's a number of different, you know, Salvation Army and, you know, a number of different thrift stores that you could give this stuff away to. There's there's a veterans group and an epilepsy group that actually make their money by picking this stuff up from you and then selling it in their thrift shops or selling it to other charity shops. So yeah, it's but the bottom line is, instead of doing that, she puts it into a box, and she puts the box in a pile of boxes that all have clothes in them, that all won't fit her, or are out of style, or just don't work anymore, and whatever. And but the thought of her having to replace those things outweighs the holding on to them, right? Mm-hmm. If 10 years from now, MC Hammer pants come back into style, She'll be kicking herself if she gave those MC Hammer pants away 10 years prior, right?
Right. Okay.
Damn, I had some, and they were great, and they don't make them the way that they used to, and now I have to pay 3 times what they cost me back when I bought them 10 years ago, and I had some, and I gave them away. And that just, it gnaws at her, right? What's different with me and domain names? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I feel the same way. God, some of the ones I just let go of, I'm just like, I'm never going to see that one again. A squatter's going to pick that up in a heartbeat and then want to resell it back to me at 100, 200, 300, 3,000, yep. Whatever yep. The price is, right? And so in many ways, giving up that domain is giving up a dream. Giving up possibility. Giving up, potential. At least to me, that's how it feels. And that's why it makes it so hard to let them go. That's why I have such a tendency to buy them as soon as I have the idea. Regardless of whether or not I have the time to execute the idea, the potential of ever doing it, it doesn't matter, because at least then, if I ever do, I won't have to replace it. And there's no difference. No difference between me and my wife and how we approach those things. The only thing that's different is the objects. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is the exact opposite of everything that I, profess, what we believe in on Minimal Mac, right? They're driven by the same problems. And so, I struggle with this stuff, right? I think the only difference between me and everyone else, I don't know if there is any difference. There's no difference, but I mean, if I could pinpoint anything, it's simply that I ask the questions and I share the questions I ask in the hopes that it might help someone else who also struggles in these departments. Yeah.
So, is this one of those where you don't have an answer?
Oh, no. I don't have an answer. I guess the answer is to always ask the questions, right? And to try to ask the right questions. Because, I'm starting to, we're starting to sound very back to work here, and I'm not trying to riff on other internet gurus' mind share here, but it's true, right? It really is about asking the right questions to try to get to where you want to be, right? And, and for me, I want to get to a life of balance. And balance is a tricky thing. Enough is a tricky thing, because there's no such thing as arriving at enough and staying at enough. I should say there's no such thing. I'm saying that that's rare. All right. It's going to change based upon conditions, right? If you're hungry, then an apple might, make you feel a little bit better, but it's not going to be enough to satisfy you. If you're full, the thought of taking a single bite of that apple is going to make you ill. Everything about enough is the same way, right? Mm-hmm. In the case of domain names, there's an appropriate number of domain names I should own.
Which is for the properties that are live
That's the properties that are either live or are I'm making active progress on making live. I mean, there are several domain names that I have and that I am keeping because though I haven't executed the project yet, it's an active open project on my list, one that I revisit regularly and say, how do I move this ball one step forward? And one that I'm asking the question constantly, like anyone should do with any task on their list, do I have to do this? Is this something that should be done? Because there's a lot of tasks that people put on their list there where the answer is no. But for whatever reason, they feel like it's something that has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And has to be done by them, right? So I'm constantly revisiting these projects whenever I, kind of do my review and look over the week ahead and, kind of go through my checklist or the week that has passed. I kind of go through my checklist and look at what I've done and then look ahead to, okay, what do I need to accomplish this week? All of that stuff comes under evaluation. And if at some point I say, you know what, I'm never going to do this project, I have to be okay with letting it go and with letting go of the pieces that I have invested in to make that project a reality up until that point. And, there's at least 20 domains in the past 4 to 5 months that have not made that cut. I'm taking some guesstimates here, but that I think that would be a near to accurate number.
So are you going to be getting rid of them now that you've established this, or are they going to still be sticking around because it's still a problem that you have?
Oh, I'm sure that there are some on that list I'm lying to myself about. Right.
Yeah.
There are some on that list that I'm saying, oh, I'll get to that someday. And that may not, we may be talking this time next year and I'll say, oh yeah, I let that one go. I finally was able to let that one go too. But there are some I can't bear. I can't bear to let go. You know? And I just can't. In the same way that there's over 50 boxes of clothes sitting right behind me that my partner cannot bear to let go. And the reason I'm able to live with those 50 boxes, the reason I'm able to stifle my criticism of those boxes, it's really difficult. I'm not saying I'm perfect at that either. I struggle, man. I struggle with all this stuff. But let me just say, I'm not harping on her every day because I get it, right? I get it. And there's closets that she could peek in of mine, Mr. Minimalist, that she could say, oh, yeah, you want to talk about my 50 boxes? Let's talk about your 50 domain names that you're never going to effing use.
Or the old Mac library that you, the old museum you're keeping down.
Oh man, no, don't even get me started. I just had the displeasure of, not displeasure, I mean it's something that had to be done, but I was down in my basement until 1 a.m. putting together shelving, so that we could start to, we could make some more progress on organizing the basement, and we needed more shelving and that sort of thing. But I'll tell you, just sitting amongst that stuff and just looking at that stuff and saying, okay, I've got these shelves and I got this stuff and I can't see, any of that stuff really fitting on these shelves. What are we going to do? The solution not being build more shelves, the solution being what we're going to get rid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just had this conversation. I was out to coffee with a friend, right? And this was after I had been in the basement. And And we were talking about old technology magazines that we were remembering that had a tremendous effect on us as a kid. And one of them was one I'd never heard of before. I'm sorry, I'm going to jump off topic here really briefly. Look it up. It was a magazine called Enter. Okay? And this was back in the early days of computing. It was before you were born, Mike. Okay. But what was great about Enter was this. Enter was produced by and published by the Children's Television Workshop. Now, Children's Television Workshop is also famous for Sesame Street, The Muppets, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Children's Television Workshop produced this computer magazine for kids called Enter that was full of basically teaching kids how to program in BASIC. Like, that was the entire goal of this magazine, was there would be this kind of story and about this, you know, about the game that you were going to write, or the, you know, they would talk about what the project was, and then they would give you the code and walk you through it and tell you, okay, if you're programming for an Apple II, you do it this way. If you're programming for a TSR-80, you do it this way. With the result being that you would go through this code and you would write this BASIC code and you would create this game or this quiz or whatever it was that they, you know, that the article was telling you to build. He's telling me about this. I'm just thinking, we need this today, right? How cool would it be to have a magazine for kids that teaches them, walks them through how to program for iOS? But I digress. In any case. So, we're talking about old magazines, and he brings up a series that they used to have in Wired back in the early 90s. And he's talking about this. I'm thinking, oh, that just sounds great. And then I looked across him at the table and I said, I hate you. And he goes, why? I said, I just spent 4 hours up to 1 a.m. last night in my basement looking at my collection of Wired magazines, which spans from around 1988 all the way through, I would say, 2005. Every single issue, I have it. And the last time I went down into these boxes was because we did an episode of The Bro Show where we did the entire episode as if it was 1999 and Steve had just come back to Apple.
Such an excellent episode. Well, let me rephrase that. It was such a fun episode.
It was a lot of fun, right?
Mm.
But that episode gave me every reason to hold on to those magazines, right? Finally, it was justified because I could go back to the Wireds that came out with, you know, Prey on the cover and, you know, Apple's doomed and, you know, what's next and things like that, right? And read through that entire history of Apple to remind myself of it so that we could, you know, we could do the show and I could bring up all of these fun facts from, you know, that I gleaned from there. And that single action justified the existence of those magazines for another year. So here I was down in the basement looking at these magazines, looking at these shelves, thinking, you know what? It's time. It's time to let these go. Maybe there's someone who collects magazines. Maybe I can just put them up on eBay or Craigslist or whatever. But regardless, whatever it is, I want to do whatever I can to get rid of these as quickly as possible, because the sharper and quicker the cut, the less it hurts when you're doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, had come to that resolve, only to sit down at coffee the next morning and have my friend give me a reason to go back and read through, you know, 2 dozen issues. Now, maybe I keep the 24 that I want to go back and read this stuff and remind my stuff of, and I get rid of the rest, and that's good too. But then there's that thing of like, oh no. What if we have a conversation? He tells me about this really cool thing that was going on with Wired Magazine in 1994 or 1998 or 2002. You get what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always a reason for stuff. You can always create and make yourself believe reasons for stuff. And sometimes those reasons are really good and really valid. I'm not saying that they're not. But I'm just saying that we can always create a reason for it, right? And that that reason almost always lies in what if. It can almost always be boiled down to the what if, right? Now, there are reasons that are like, okay, I currently need this, right? I currently need this Mac to do my job. I currently, to record this show, I currently need this, you know, microphone to record this show, right? And those are very valid things, but I'm just saying that after I'm done with this show, if I could say to myself, well, you know, I'm going to sell my microphone. What's the first thing that's going to come to mind? Well, what if I need to record this show again next week? What am I going to do? Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Once again, a very valid what if. Nothing wrong with the what if. The what if is a very important question. I'm just saying that there are some valid answers to that what ifs. And there are some completely bullcrap answers to that what if. Right? And it's the completely bullcrap answers that a lot of times lead us to holding on to stuff. And so, yeah, you know, if there's any takeaway from this, it's this. Number one, I struggle with this stuff just like everybody else and everyone I'm talking to and everyone I hope to reach through, you know, through my talking about this stuff. Because through my struggle and through the lessons that I learn and continue to learn, I hope to share those with others and hope that they might help them. Right? But a lot of times it's me talking through this stuff because I'm living it, because I'm dealing with it. Myself right now. And I need to talk myself through the problem. I need to talk myself into giving away these magazines. I need to talk myself into letting go of these domain names. I got to talk myself into letting go of this big box of wires that I've got that probably go back to 1994 for, you know, all sorts of stuff, right? Because of the one thing that I might find that I need to help a client out tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I struggle. I mean, for you, Michael, just now's the time, before we go, lay it out on the table, consider this a confession to your priest. Is there anything like that that you struggle with?
I'm a bit of a hoarder. Like, I have in a wardrobe upstairs every box to every Apple product I've ever bought. That's a bit weird, isn't it?
No, me too, brother.
If it's in warranty, I have half the box of the products.
Oh, see, now that's the exception, right?
They're just the empty boxes. I mean, I've given away or things have broken or sold things, but I keep boxes. I keep boxes to some, like, other electronic stuff just for, you know, for the, in case you need to return it or whatever.
Right,
but, I mean, I even have, like, some headphone boxes. I mean, that's just really weird.
Yeah. I mean, because the headphones, you're going to just throw out if you, you know, if they stop working or whatever.
Exactly.
You're not going to bother returning them.
Mm-hmm.
And boxes are a thing for me too, but I will say that I have basically, if it's still within warranty, I keep the box for especially Apple boxes for obvious reasons, right? Because, well,
If I need to ship it back to Apple, if Apple needs to ship it back to Apple, sometimes it's nice to have the box. I do try to go through those and clean out anything that I no longer own on a somewhat regular basis.
Yeah.
But, I mean, see, there you go. I mean, we all have something. We all have a struggle, as it were. Some piece of stuff that we just can't bear to part with or keeping around for what-if reasons. And, hey, having identified it is the first step. And now that you know that about yourself, even just verbalizing it, I bet you're thinking to yourself, you know what? You know, maybe I should throw out those headphones.
Yeah.
Or the headphone boxes, I should say. Because you just admitted, for those, there's no reason to keep those, right?
No, there really isn't.
Yeah. So that's a step, right? That's a step. And if you can get rid of the headphone boxes, maybe you'll get rid of some of the Apple ones. You'll be able to reach that. Or maybe you'll realize, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't really affect me that much, and who gives to rats, right? But
yeah.
You know, there's always something, so... Well, thanks a lot for listening to me rant on this one. Not really a rant as much as a confession and, me just kind of letting people know that as much as we talk about here on the show about simplicity and the idea of enough, and, you know, there's a reason why we talk about it, and that's because we all struggle with this stuff.
Indeed.
All right. Well, we'll keep it to that, my friend, and we'll talk later.
We will. Cheers. All right,
cheers.